Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Barkley needs 2 yards for the record. Hurts in the gun. Ball at the 38. Hurts to Barkley. Barkley, first down.
And more.
The record has been set. Saquon Barkley has just set the Eagles' all-time single-season rushing record, eclipsing the mark of Shady McCoy.
The record is set.
All right.
By Saquon Barkley.
At least
yesterday.
That was a positive from the day.
It was. Other than the win, it was the biggest positive of the day. Saquon does what he does, gets past LeSean McCoy. I mentioned this to you to Merrill when we had him on earlier in the show. It's pretty wild that he passed Shady McCoy's record in 13 games, Hugh. Like, it's one of those.
That's pretty phenomenal.
It's wild. I mean, like, if you had told me before the season he would break Shady McCoy's record for most rushing yards in a season as an Eagle, I would have said, all right, I can see that. Right, he stays healthy, great offensive line, good team.
And the fact that we had to lean heavily in order to have the success that we had on the running game this
year. I could have seen it, but if you would have said, Joe, how long would it take? I would have said, I don't know, 15 games?
Yeah.
16, 17? I didn't think it was going to take 13 games. So Shady sets the record yesterday, but now our eyes, Hugh Douglas, are on a bigger prize, and that would be Eric Dickerson's record, a little bit over 2,100 yards. So Saquon needs, I think it's 483 the rest of the way to break that record, which is about his pace, about 120 per game. We're on pace to do that. And it sounds like, according to Jordan Mailata, it's on Saquon's mind. Let's listen to this.
Saquon, after he broke the record, you guys have a conversation at all?
Yeah, I just hung. So congratulations. That's the only bright side I can think of the game right now, to be honest. So congratulations. Then he said, let's go get EDs.
Oh, there it is.
I like the fact that the music matches the mood of the conversation being had. Because I don't know if y'all heard that in the background. That was Rick James. That was Mary Jane playing in the background.
I didn't realize
like
that.
A little mellow. Like, because Jordan's kind of mellow, so it was like little Rick James, Mary Jane. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think it was telling what he said. We started debating last week, right? Are they going to go for the record? Are they going to let Saquon play week 18 if that things are wrapped up? And one of the things, when we had Jolly versus Jilly on Friday, I said they're going to want it as a team. It's not just a
It's not an individual record. This is a team record,
well,
no question.
How about what Saquon said to Mailata? Let's go get ED. Let's go break Eric Dickerson's record. That means he views it, Kyle, with the rest of them, as a team record, not just a Saquon Barkley record, an Eagles offensive record. That tells me all I need to know. He may not vocalize it publicly, but he wants it.
It's score one for Joe Giglio.
That's right.
Versus Paul Jonathan.
Yeah.
So we'll mark that one down.
I needed it. I think I won anyway, but I'll take the points.
Kind of told y'all like that last week when he was in the Players Club, though, that they kind of. You know, he kind of wanted.
So you want points for Hugh Douglas?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out.
You want Douglas
just
points?
Just pointing out.
I mean, no one likes "and I told you so" like Hugh Douglas.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. No, it's exciting, man. This is an exciting time, and to have a running back of his caliber, like we talk about it every week. Like we've had good running backs, but man, nothing like that. Nothing like the guy that we got running the ball right now. Nothing like that.
The part of yesterday that was so impressive is that I didn't even feel like he was that great yesterday. I mean, he was very good, but like we know he's been better.
Because you've gotten used to it now,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, right. Like yesterday, that game, normally for a normal running back, is outstanding. And for him, it was like, yeah, it was a good game yesterday. But obviously, it led to a victory. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Rich in Springfield. What's up, Rich?
Hey. So I think it's a little bit – thanks for having me, by the way. It's the first time I've ever called. I think it's a little bit of everything. I think, yes, ultimately it's going to come down to the quarterback because he's the quarterback. But I think he's got the ability. He's got the IQ. He just – like I'm a firm believer you got to feel it first, and he is thinking it first. He is not feeling it first right now. And rightfully so, he doesn't want to turn the ball over. And a lot of the other callers mentioned it, but it – partly is a byproduct of some of the play calls. The fact that, you know, they're running it so much, you can't. It's hard to get in a groove. I know they're getting paid to be in the groove, but, I mean, He missed an open guy. It happens. It happens to the best of them. I watched Josh Allen last night miss a ton of open guys at the end of that game, and nobody's ripping him the same way. So I think everyone just needs to take a breath. I think the quarterback's going to be fine. That's just my personal opinion.
So, and Rich, I hear you.
Go ahead.
But I hear you on that. You mentioned the Allen thing, but I'll use a similar analogy I used earlier. Like you could say in baseball, everyone strikes out. But if you go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts, or you have three hits and then strike out, they're different strikeouts, right? Like Josh Allen missed throws last night, sure, but he also accounted for 6 touchdowns.
True, and that's why I said it. Like again, it's under a microscope, and like I think you had said earlier, they're throwing the ball less, so every throw is going to be that much more important. I completely agree with you that. I think that's why A.J. Brown was so upset is besides the fact he was wide open, he knows he's not going to get targeted that much. So he's got to capitalize on some of them. But, I mean, I think it's just, you know, there's a couple games left. I'm like at a, you know, I'm not ready to jump off a bridge like everybody else is. I think this is just they got to get some more chemistry. That's all. And I think they're going to get there.
Well, I hope you're right, Rich. And well, here's the concern I have. Rich, good phone call. The time's running out. Like, Hugh, you've spoken about this before a lot. Like, you're supposed to progress as the season goes along.
Yeah,
it feels
yeah.
like the passing game is regressing, not progressing.
Yeah, and you're at a point now where we've talked about it all year, Joe. We're going to need the passing game at some point.
Of course.
We're going to need it. And this is not a game. Yesterday was not a game that made us feel comfortable about that passing game being readily available if we need it. That's the thing. See, that's the thing that I think when people say there's much ado about nothing that you're not factoring in. The fact that we haven't really been a prolific passing team all season long.
Mm-mm.
We've been like one-dimensional. I will say that, though. This, though. The one dimension that we've been has been, for the most part, unstoppable. And I think a lot of times when people talk about this offense, and your biggest concern is when you do run up on that team that's able to stop what you do well, and what are you going to do if that's the case? I still believe that Jalen is good enough to get the job done. I think that our receivers are good enough to get the job done. We want to see it. We want to see it. We don't want it to be as sporadic as it has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, of course. It's just been too sporadic. Can I try to eliminate one more crutch? I've noticed this a lot. I think Kyle's probably noticed it too. The people call and say, well, I think Jalen's has enough ability. No one questions that. Right? I don't think it's a matter of he can't do it.
Why ain't he doing it?
Right, like...
What's wrong with you?
Can you say at any given time there's probably 20 starting quarterbacks that have the ability? It's a matter of where they're at in their career, where they're at in the offense they're in, where they're at confidence, where they're at health-wise, right? And then each year you narrow it down to which guys are actually doing it, and those are the best quarterbacks in the league that you're like, I could pick out 20 NFL starting quarterbacks that have the ability to do something. It doesn't mean they are. Can't we say now, after watching this season, that Sam Darnold has had ability since he was the third pick in the draft?
You think he'd have the same record on the Eagles team, though?
Well, probably. But, like, Sam Darnold has ability, right? He was the third pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He sucked for 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
Now he's in a place mentally, physically, coach, it's all coming together, and he's playing well. I don't think anyone that's watched Jalen Hurts play in the NFL says he doesn't have physical ability or he can't do it. But he's not doing it right now.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, that's the issue. Not can he, will he?
I think what's bothering me the most, and it's stopping me from being able to think about anything else, keep Josh Allen's name out of your mouth when you talk about Jalen Hurts. I'm so sick of it. No, I thought we were going to be done with that today. I cannot believe that I'm still hearing anybody even put the two in the same sentence. Stop. Drop the act.
Stop, drop, and roll.
I just can't believe anyone would watch the two and play this year and put them in the same sentence.
No, it's completely delusional.
Why is it still happening?
Because people are delusional.
What are we doing?
You're trying to wrap your mind around
it. I just don't get it. I like Josh Allen missed throws. Yeah, sure he did. Every quarterback missed throws. He got it for six touchdowns.
Just ask yourself what this offense would look like if we had Josh Allen.
Better, a lot better. I mean, I mean, what else are we supposed to say besides a lot better? And we don't have Josh Allen, and this doesn't mean we can't win the Super Bowl with this guy, but he's got to play better. I mean,
And I'm not even trying to, like, it should be unfair for me to go compare Jalen Hurts to one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But they're for, like, stop bringing him up. And I won't, it's because it just makes Jalen look way worse.
I think it's a problem with statistics. I think we got to do the stop. Look at the list.
We get the numbers. Look at the numbers.
I mean, use your brain for once and your eyes.
It's asking a lot, Kyle. Let's relax on that. Bruce, D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Bruce.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
What's up, Bruce?
Bruce, we're trying to figure things out here, Bruce. We got a lot going on.
Look, look, usually when I call y'all, I have some pep in my step, man. I'm having deja vu the freaking Cleveland game. Oh, my God.
You know what? It was Clevelandish. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. And see, it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Yeah, again, I sound like a freaking broken record. And see, I got a slightly different take on what's going on, but this is what I've been saying all along. Now, first thing right off the bat, as far as Jalen, obviously, he has some problems in reading the field. His progressions are just slow. He just needs to pick those up, because if you'd have seen it, he was on AJ for the
big play early in the game. Yeah,
he made the harder pass instead of the easy pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like vice versa, and it just drives you nuts. But I think that's another part to this equation too is Kellen Moore. I'm gonna tell you, this is really starting to really piss me off about him, because we've been saying this all along, and I'm gonna tell you, and even Sirianni has got a leg in on this thing. They have relaxed. They have said, okay, we're good. We got a solid running game. We're going to rely on our defensive play game, and they're taking the foot off. They are still not seeing. I don't know for the life of me. This first quarter thing is, yes, it hasn't been a problem, but it's going to be a problem. And yesterday we got the scare because the defense didn't play as good. Now part of this, what we got yesterday, was Carolina was a lot better than everyone thought we were. But I think that's part. But still, the dynamic is there. I don't know what it is with Kellen Moore. I mean, the pass plays are too long. They need to simplify the pass play. I don't know why, they don't throw in some dink and dunk. They have no screen game whatsoever. Okay, the screen game gets you out of some of the blitzes that he's been seeing. And they don't do it. And they don't have a sense of urgency. This whole thing with they don't have a contingency plan if Barkley cannot be used and it's not getting up. And these are the same problems over and over again. And I hang on the coaching as well as Jalen. They're not doing him any favors by coming up with some better plays for him to be productive in the passing play and shorten up some of the routes that make it easier, then you can progress into longer routes.
Yeah, the first quarter thing is wild. I mean, it's all-time stuff. Bruce, we appreciate the phone call. So, ready for the stat here in the first quarter?
What you got?
All right, I've got the stats in this century. This is 24 years now, right? Since 2000. The Eagles, there have been 796 NFL teams, each year, every team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2000. The Eagles rank 792nd out of those 796 in first quarter points. But here's the one that got me. Hugh, of the teams that finished with a 500 or better record, right? Like, so winning teams.
Mm-hmm.
They are dead last in the last 25 years in points in the first quarter. No winning team in the last 25 seasons has scored this few points in the first quarter.
So they're defying odds right now.
Completely.
And yeah, I mean, I hear you, and we need to do better with that. It doesn't make me feel good, but it is saying something about the fact that, when you talk about a team that is winning the way that they're winning and not scoring in the first quarter, that is pretty impressive. But yeah, you need to do more. I definitely agree with you. We need to do more in order to have success. It's not I don't need a whole lot, because I think in that Baltimore game, I saw enough to feel comfortable with being able to win Super Bowl that way. But the game yesterday, that was not a comfortable feeling as far as the way they played.
Well, it's not a comfortable feeling. And the crazy part is, it feels like now the players are just useless. Listen to Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday when asked about another scoreless first quarter.
Sorry, what can you guys do better to start games better? I mean, you guys didn't get anything going until second quarter. I mean, what's kind
of... Yeah, well, it's nothing new. That's kind of what we've done. And got to figure it out at some point.
What do you make of it? I mean, it's almost like a frustration at the end, but also a shrug of the shoulders. Like, yeah, it's nothing new. It's what we do.
See, I don't...
I don't think he doesn't care, but it's almost like he's resigned to it. Like, this is who we are.
The way he said that, the way that he responded to that, kind of... I don't know how to take that. Because on one hand, I know he knows he needs to do better. But to just shrug it off like that, I think a lot of times with Jalen, especially yesterday's game, is I think on some level, he knew he didn't play well. He had to know.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you had to know. And I think on some level, he was frustrated with himself, and he probably wanted to get back. And I don't know this for sure, people, so don't. I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a, you know, background. But I think that he went into it thinking that maybe I should go back and look at the film before I say something, you know, that I don't really know for sure. Maybe a little bit of frustration was a part of that. So I think maybe it was a little bit of that. It's hard to say, man. Because like I said, that's not a performance that I would say you write home and tell folks you're proud of.
No.
That's definitely not one of those. Definitely wasn't one of those.
Yeah, I just feel like the first quarter thing, they you know how we were holding out this hope they're going to figure out the passing game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is anyone still have hope they're going to figure out the first quarter thing? They have had 13 football games, and they've scored 17 points the first quarter. Like, obviously, whatever they script during the week, it doesn't work.
It hasn't been as a big a deal for me, but I can understand why you're a little upset. It still looks...
Well, it's not even upset. I just don't think it's going
to
change.
Yesterday, to me, looked a little bit more disjointed than it has in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I don't just think it's him. I think it was some of the coaching, too. Coaches had a bad day, too, for the most part.
What if they're having a good day and he's just not executing it?
What
have
if?
We thought about
it's a whole lot of what ifs, man. That's a whole lot of what ifs.
But is it a what if AJ's streaking down the field
I still go back to, and nobody can answer this for me, maybe the insider of the year can find this out. Why you run two back-to-back draw plays, QB draws?
My guess is they didn't. Right, like the play got broken. It was broken play, or he made a choice.
And you know, at some point when the game's going like that, and you know you can't lose to the Carolina Panthers, you're like, well, damn it. Like, what was it? What was the dude, Bill O'Reilly? When he was like, we're going live.
Bleep it.
Yeah, we're just going to do what we've been doing.
Was that Jalen on the 35-yard
yes.
scramble?
Bump it. We're just going back to what we know.
That was his best
we're
play
going
of the game.
Live.
That run was great. All right, let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys, sorry.
Violet, what's going
on? I'm trying to get ready for work.
Oh, no worries. Us too.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to chime in with the same thing. I did have a question, though. I know that Jalen can do it because he's obviously done it when he first got there. So there's something going on. I don't know what it is. So that bothers me. We definitely have to get that passing game going if we're going to go deeper into the playoffs. I love running the ball, and actually, I wish we would do a little bit more with both backs. And then my question is, so earlier, Seth Joyner was talking about establishing the run helps you with the passing game. So I'll take that off if you guys could explain that a little bit more.
Sure. Violet, we appreciate the phone call. So Seth was saying establishing the run should help Jalen in the pass game.
Well, when you establish the run, you usually, especially if you're running the ball with a lot of success, normally, teams like to play coverage, so they will take that was the strong safety, and they'll put him in the cover game, and he's the guy that helps out. Say if they want a bracket on both sides, he's the guy that could probably help out with the two primary receivers. But when you're running the ball with success, you want to put that bigger safety in the box to try to help with the running game, and that's when he said that's when you have most times teams will go to more of a one-on-one concept.
That's what I thought 2 years ago was, Violet. When the Eagles were at their best offensively 2 years ago with Jalen, the run game was good. He was part of the run game. Defenses would bring more defenders up to stop the run, and then he would throw it over their heads to AJ or Devontae down the field, and it just felt like you pick your poison. It was just unstoppable. Now, the run game is great, but the pass game just feels – it's just amazing how choppy it feels. You would think with these receivers, it just would be easier. Like, it just feels like it's pulling
teeth. Yeah, because you're getting – for the most part, because everybody knows you're running the football. And you're getting the one-on-one matchups that you want, especially on the outside. You know, with AJ going against whatever receivers they have. I know that for this Carolina team, they were talking about how the strength is their cornerbacks. Mm. But, man, I like AJ against anybody.
Of course.
And even if he isn't open, he probably open.
Yeah.
And I would throw it to him. But it feels like over the last couple of weeks that Jalen has, for whatever reason, lost that confidence in that. Because there were times where we would look and say, why is he throwing that to him and he's triple covered? He would throw it a lot. He would throw it in the traffic. He would throw it to him when he wasn't open. So, like, you go from that to not getting him involved at all. That's tough. That's tough for his number one guy. Because AJ was has been his guy for the longest.
Well, and you see these receivers in the NFL. Some of these guys get 13, 14 targets in a game. And obviously,
easy.
And AJ's not getting those, and the ones he's getting, or he should be getting, like when he's wide open in the first drive and the ball's not coming to him.
A little bit of in the Sahara. He's in a drought right about now.
I mean, he's the guy's thirsty. Jake Adelko, what's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jake. Well, Jake, you know, we're just trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking? Jalen has shown that he's a very stoic person. He's shown that he does not get rattled. And there's been in-game situations where something really bad happened, and the next drive, he was poised and went right down the field. And that doesn't jive with a Jalen that we've been saying maybe in his head thinking, I don't want to throw an interception. I'm scared to turn the ball over. I don't understand how those two types of mentalities can exist in the same quarterback's head. It's very strange.
What do you make of that, Hugh? Stoic, not, it doesn't seem like he's rattled, yet he seems afraid at the same time. Like afraid to throw an interception, afraid to make a mistake.
I mean, yeah, I can't quantify that either. I mean, you know, because I don't see it that way. I feel like, for the most part, there are plays, I don't know, maybe that he's not understanding or they're not on the same page with. Because, like I said, I still go back to that back-to-back quarterback sneak situation where it cost him a down. It cost him, well, not only downs, it cost him a possession.
Sure.
And it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand what is the disconnect between what the quarterback is trying to accomplish and what they're actually doing.
Yeah, it's a good question. Jake, we appreciate it. I have a theory. It's one of two things. And I think one is way more fixable than the other. Ready for my theory?
What's that?
Well, my first theory is what we've been talking about a lot today. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He's gun shy, right? He doesn't want to throw the ball unless it's perfect, wide open, because maybe all the picks he threw earlier in the year, maybe they've coasted out of him. The other one, and this is an uncomfortable conversation. I don't even know if we're ready for. It's just he's not seeing it because he's confused at what he's seeing.
Can't read the defense.
Yeah, 5 years in, and it's not that hard for defense to kind of get confuse him a little bit, and so he holds it because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And if that's the case, here's my question to you: 5 years in to a quarterback in the NFL, if certain coverages challenge them and they're not sure they're reading it correctly, so they hold it, is that going to get better, or is this what he is?
I will say this to that. Even if that's the case, say if I come to the line, if I'm the quarterback, and I see a defense that I can't decipher, I would probably check to a run play if I can't decipher it. Get them out of that. Like, to Seth's point and to what the caller was talking about, my running game is sound. My running game to this point of the season has not been stopped. So if I'm quarterback and never played a position in my life, but if I was, and if I walked up to the line of scrimmage and it was something that I didn't know or didn't see, hell, I got a home run hitter.
Sure.
Right behind me.
But at some point I do,
but what I'm going to do, say if they got the safeties off the line, and I don't know what coverage they're in, I'm checking to a run. And as soon as they move him down or whatever, then I might check back to a pass. But what I'm saying is this, Joe. I'm maximizing my chances of having success by handing the ball to the running back. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until they give me a defense that I'm comfortable throwing the ball in. Because that's my bread and butter. Like, I look at it like this, and I said this at the beginning of the season. If I'm the quarterback, I don't need to make a whole lot of throws with the kind of running game that I have. I just need to make the ones that get my playmakers open so that they can take it to the house.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, hey, AJ, listen. Hey, bro, I'm looking for you on this one. You know, because you got that type of receiver. We've seen it. We've seen it on more than one occasion. Yeah,
this would be almost make more sense if they didn't have good receivers. Yes. Like, and it's like, all right, well.
I could throw the ball to AJ and – If he is double covered, he's probably going to get it.
And we've seen it before. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side here, your calls racked at everything from yesterday. Eagles win 9 in a row. They clinch a playoff spot. But that pass game, it was ugly yesterday. Plus, we'll get to what happened around the rest of the NFL and the massive Juan Soto news yesterday. The dream of Juan Soto as a Philly is officially dead. And now we got to face him for 15 years back in the division. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. I'm talking about pork. Put some pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon. Y'all know how I feel about bacon. They have ham and ham steaks, are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. If you need inspiration, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. And this season, go beyond tradition and find your flavor